Oztech News, episode 20, But Cooler. G'day and welcome to Oztech News. We're a weekly Australian podcast that focuses on tech and gaming news. Visit the website at oztechnews.blogspot.com. That has our show notes and where you can download this or subscribe to it. Or give us an email. That's at oztechnews@gmail.com. So today it's just me, Brett James again. Sean Byrne is a bit sick at the moment. He couldn't look at the computer screen long enough to be with us at the podcast, so bugger. Today, we've got a lot of good stories, but I thought I'd point out that I just missed International Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Yarr.
Yes, that's September 19th, I think it was. Yep.
Yarr.
Everyone was welcome to talk like a pirate and play up like a pirate, basically.
Have you tried a Baltic squid?
We'll talk later on about what I did for it, but I hope everyone else enjoyed it as well. So we'll move into the mighty
housekeeping.
Last week we were talking about how the Nintendo Wii was being announced in Japan. All the information I had there was correct. However, the Australian release date and pricing information has come out now. It's $400 Australian, and it's coming out at December the 7th. So a tiny bit later, and I think it was a bit more expensive than I originally thought. I'll remind you though, that comes with the Wii Sports bundled, so it's got a game with it. So really, it's about the same price as the PSP at the moment with the bundle packs. Pretty good, and well worth getting. The other minor fault, maybe? I mentioned that Sean was in the Philippines when he was on holiday last week. Well, since he's come back, he's pointed out that he was actually in Thailand. So, my bad. Well, let's move on to the first story. So, this time is Segway PTs recalled. This is from tgdaily.com. It's bit funny. Have you heard of Segways? They're the little two-wheeled bicycles that you stand on. Think of a unicycle almost, that's got a platform that you stand on it and it runs around and you use it to drive short distances to and from work or around the office. So it's like a really high-tech gadget and it looks pretty sweet. They announced that they're voluntarily recalling them. According to them, and I quote, a condition has been identified in which the Segway PT can unexpectedly reverse the direction of its wheels, which can cause a rider to fall. Man, if you know what these look like, you're probably laughing because you can imagine people driving down the street in these, going maybe 10-15 kilometers per hour, and then they lean back and put out this bug in it, and then it reverses and they fly off the Segway. So this affects all the Segways and it needs a firmware update, which is why they're voluntarily recalling it. But I'd love to see a video of this actually happening. A guy just sort of merrily going along like, la la la, boom. Sort of like that that merry-go-round wheel, which was on recently. So check out the link for the short article about that. But we'll move on to the next one. Top 5 strangest Japanese USB gadgets. I don't know how they thought of these, but I'll run through the whole list. This is on techeblog.com. Number 5, Evergreen's USB egg. It's an egg-shaped USB gadget. It splits in half, and it's got a card reader and a USB hub, which looks kind of weird. The USB hub and the card reader are at the bottom and actually look like an angry face. And when the egg opens up, you'll find that it's got it's a stereo speaker inside the egg. Very, very freaky. And number 4, this is my favourite, USB-powered butt cooler. Yeah. So this is like some kind of weird pad that sits on the chair, and it's got a fan on it that plugs into your computer, and it cools it, so you don't get a sweaty chair. Congratulations, that wins my award of messed up stuff.
You call this a supercomputer?
And moving on to more craziness, number 3, USB-powered shirt fan. Now, I don't exactly get the point of this. It's a tiny fan that plugs into your USB and then you put it in your shirt. It's supposed to stop you sweating. Okay, then. Next one, which has a nice video for it, actually, is the number 2 self-destruct USB hub. I like this one. I saw it on the net a while ago, but having a video for it sort of adds to the effect. Take it out of the box, and it's got a bunch of buttons on it. Think of an old 1950s style console with like a blinking button and flicking switches, sort of something similar to launching a nuclear missile. Not that I actually know how to launch one, but they sort of flick a switch and they've got to put a key in. And once they finish all these steps, they can open the plastic lid, which has a big red button. And they press the button and it makes a blow up sound. I know, it's a bit disappointing. It should actually blow up, but yeah, I don't really get the point of it besides for people to go, oh, what's it do? But that leads us up to number 1, strange USB powered barbecue. This is not the kind of thing you can actually just buy. This is more of a hardware hack. They made a custom USB powered barbecue using a crap load of USB cable, 6 PCI USB adapter cards in their computer, so that would be 12 USB ports. So they've got a fair bit of power running into this. And yeah, a small cooker plate which has the barbecue stuff on it. It doesn't look real healthy in the video on it, so have a look and you can laugh at how absurd it looks. So, good job, Japanese. Keep it up. Keep on the wacky stuff. So, we'll move on to the next story, which is throw away your pens. OCR hits mobile phones. OCR stands for optical character recognition. A while back when scanners were sort of all the rage, when OCR and scanners were all the rage, OCR lets you take scan a document in, and then the OCR software will pick up the text inside it and put it into a program, say, i.e. Word. So you could say, scan your resume in, pray for the best, and put it through the OCR software, and then put it into Word. And usually it works pretty well. You could also do that to scan magazine articles and the like. So this software works on a mobile phone. And it was demonstrated in this article from TG Daily also. They took a picture of a business card. And using the OCR software, they picked up the phone number, the address of the place, email address. It seemed to work fairly quick, about 5 seconds, to get the actual picture. So I reckon this has lots of really good potential in the future. I used to, I had a Nokia 7610 up until recently, and it took 1 megapixel photos. What this let me do was take a picture of, say, a brochure, an A4 page, and the quality was good enough for me to sort of make out what the text was or when the dates were, if it was an invitation to somewhere. The only problem was if I had a few of these pictures, I would have to manually go through and sort find the actual information I wanted from it. So that kind of backfired after a while. Using this software, I could, say, take a picture of a birthday invitation and grab the phone number off it and add it into my phone number address book. So, and then I could also set a reminder for me to RSVP. So it's got a fair bit of potential. I like the idea, putting it any kind of stuff like this on a phone is great. So I'd like to see what comes up in the future from this. I'm just trying to see who the actual people who developed it are. They've got a bit of a stupid name, which is ABBYY. Sounds a bit like a Super Nintendo combination, doesn't it, to sort of get to the secrets or something like that. So we'll move on to the next story, and that is Let Tekken Decide. This story is, I think it's a pretty much an ad, but a pretty funny ad. It's about the game Tekken Dark Resurrection, which came out on the PSP lately. And you go to the website and you get a choice of two people fighting. And you choose the fighters and what they're fighting for. So I could say side one is Google versus Yahoo. And then I'll click fight. And you'll see a really crazy video of these two people fighting. And the winner might be, say, Google, or it might be Yahoo. So that comes from the name Let Tekken Decide. I thought this was funny because back in the day, Soul Calibur 2 on the PlayStation 2, man, that was a great game. So many long hours spent playing that. I remember we'd do things like take bets on who was going to win, and if we had, say, a hot pizza with us, we'd use the game to decide who gets the next slice of pizza. So using the game in an unexpected way to sort of, you know, make it more fun. Or, it's not the typical gambling thing from, say, play poker and if you win, you get money kind of thing, or bluff the right way. So this is good. I like it. These kind of ads I'd laugh a lot at. How does it work? Go onto this page. There is lots of crazy funny stuff. Just reading through the site. There isn't much else to actually look at, but you've got to try it at least a few times because each time you go to enter in a match, there's different people to fight. For example, I'm on the front page now and I've got Wacky Karate and Cuddles, which is some kind of freaky rabbit, but you can customize it. Another funny one is Skimpy Bikini. And when I had a match before, she lost by getting burped on by a toxic vomit attack. The fishmonger? Man, some of this stuff is crazy. So give it a look at it. I highly recommend it. So, yeah, I'll go on to a rant for a bit. This is my first proper episode using the Blue Snowball microphone. The quality should be a lot better. I've been liking it so far. It looks like a golf ball, to be honest. And I've had a lot of fun trying to get this actual microphone. I've had a bit of a dodgy time on eBay, but I'll talk about that next episode. But it's highly recommended. I ended up spending $280 on getting it. And I know what you're thinking. Holy crap, he spent that much money on a microphone. I bought one at Dick Smith for $15. And you're right, those mics are still fairly good, but you sort of, I don't know, they sort of rock and it's got this kind of appeal for it. I guess it was a bit of an impulse buy, but I'll let you guys decide on what you think of it. As well as that, there was a few other tidbits of news around lately. And that was the Game Arena shoutcast match for Battlefield 2, which I thought was a bit of a first. It was between Online Gaming Addicts and Bush Rangers, if I recall correctly, BR. And that was for positions 4th and 5th on the Game Arena Battlefield 2 ladder match. It was supposed to be live, but due to some bugs on TSN Central's website, we weren't able to watch it until a fair bit later. It was pretty fun to watch though. There was a lot of really good air skill. The camera was a bit jumpy, but you could really see some really solid skill in how the people approach the game, and I came from it learning a lot about playing the game, teamwork naturally, and some amazing helicopter rocket shots and airplane flying how it's meant to be. It's good. that's about all I could say about it. Also, on the Game Arena message boards, I learned that Parappa the Rapper is coming to the PSP. It's going to be basically a port of the first Parappa game. And not sure how many people here remember that game, but the songs were so catchy. For example, the dojo at the start where he's going like kick punch are just fantastic. So catchy and so good. I don't think I'd buy it as a real song, but man, you're humming it for ages after playing the game. I hope there's going to be some kind of Wi-Fi multiplayer mode. But also, I hope that there's a bit of original content there as well, because I played through the original game on the PlayStation 1, so I'd probably be getting it more as a bragging rights than anything else. So we'll move on to the next story anyway, after my bit of a rant there. And this story is from lostlevels.org, and it's called Unreleased Gizmodo Game Has Butt Rape In It. What was that? What? Butt rape? Yes, I kid you not. There was a game called Colors, and it was coming out for the Gizmondo handheld device, which was supposed to be a bit of a PSP sort of competitor, but it was sort of underspecced and overpriced, and the people behind the console were really dodgy and did things like crashed a Ferrari and had guns in there and sort of made up crazy stories. But this game, Colors, looked actually pretty good, a bit like a GTA kind of clone where you ran around and just buggerized around and shot stuff. And there's someone got a nearly finished beta of the game, and in it, there's pictures of how he gets the guy gets held up, and instead of dying, he gets put to the jail, which is so far so normal. And there's a bunch of people inside this jail cell that you can talk to. So there's a picture where they talk to the first guy, and he's like, "Yeah, I can get you out, but it's going to cost you a crap load of money." He looks like probably a Yakuza kind of guy. So the website then goes to the next guy called Moose, like a bikey guy, saying it'll cost you $7,000. So skipping that, there is this guy called James Earl Wyatt. Now, I think that's a play on an old cowboy kind of thing, isn't it? And I'll quote what his text says in the game. "Look, you better tell somebody. That is a fine behind right there. Tell you what, baby, I'm going to do you a favor and pop that cherry for the pigs or anyone else around here get their turn. When I'm done with you, you'll be sent down to the infirmary and you'll be out of here in no time, baby. Woohoo! Lord, you're pretty." And the text is, "James Earl White can get me out of jail, but it involves raping me in the butt." So that's kind of freaky. And if this game came out, I could imagine the outrage that would happen about it, because this is right up there with the hot coffee incident that happened with GTA San Andreas on the PS2 and PlayStation, where you were able to go in the house and there was a action replay code or simple mod you can install to the PC version where it moved the camera inside and you could see what you're actually doing for your pleasure meter. And he was sort of basically going in, I'm trying to put it nicely, sexual conduct. So that was hot coffee, and the game got put off the shelves and had to be re-rated and kicked up a lot of steam and made a lot of people think about thinking twice about buying games blindly. And I don't really think that GTA, those games, they're not really for kids. I definitely wouldn't, if I had kids, let them play it. It's definitely you've got to be over 15 to play it. But for all those over 15, all the power to them. So these kind of features in this Colors game where they got the butt raping, I'd probably take that as just a pretty hilarious joke. And so Gizmondo, or the developers of this game. Props to you guys. The pictures of this look hilarious, so to do it justice, look at the Lost Levels website and have a laugh and see what you missed out on. Luckily, we'll always remember it thanks to the internet.
The internet? Is that thing still around?
Well, moving on, is the TV show Good Game came out on Tuesday. I'll just double check the date here. It would have been the 18th. No, sorry, the 19th. That would have been Pirate Day. Anyway, so that came out on ABC 2. And Good Game is a computer game show, which I was pretty impressed with. I didn't catch it on the TV when it was on because, A, the reception here in Ballarat for those kind of signals is pretty poor, and B, because I had a clan match at that time. So I ended up catching it on the web. It's pretty good. It has a few flaws in being a bit cheesy in some points, but good show. So it's hosted by Jungleist and Kapowski.
Hello and welcome to the very first Good Game. The show for gamers, by gamers.
But these two people go around and there's stories on reviews of games. For example, there's a review on the game Saints Row for the Xbox 360. And it's a good review. It's always good seeing videos of stuff like, you know, real people playing it, in-game footage of people moving around, and you get a feel for how the controls work. That always beats a magazine review or just a plain review on the web as well. Other bits, for example, the World of Warcraft interview with the girl on there, I thought was a bit campy and overbaked, but the rest of it was pretty good. The highlight, I would say, would be the Ruffle Waffle Cup. Now, I'll just talk about it briefly, but then I've got to talk about how the heck they come about with this name.
Hey, Kapowski, who are you talking to? Kapowski. Kapowski.
Yeah?
Who are you talking to?
Just some peeps on IRC.
Yeah, what's new?
We're going to be playing for the Ruffle Cup.
The Ruffle Cup.
So, the Ruffle Cup is an article or piece in the show where they had a Counter-Strike Source match with the Good Game guys versus Clan Immunity, which is obviously a professional clan for Counter-Strike Source. If you've heard of that clan, this show would be fantastic for you because you get to put a face to the name. And they all look like pretty fun blokes. But the story on this website for the Ruffle Cup had been stitches.
The Ruffle Cup, a tribute to one of gaming's greatest heroes, John Ruffle, winner of every international Pong championship 1973 to 1978.
He created his own trademark technique called, get this, the Ruffle Waffle. He met his match in 94 during a uber long 24-hour Pong session. And someone exploited his weakness, which was to tell him a joke. So then the guy had a heart attack whilst rolling on the floor laughing. So that kind of story is hilarious. But back to the actual show, though. They had a little piece on building your own machine. They sort of glossed over it because it's a multi-part kind of story, but it seems to have potential. Like, they covered like what kind of bits you'd need for the machine. Another good part was they had Machinima inside their show. And I'm hoping this was actually broadcast on the TV show as well, because if so, this opens a really big door for community Machinima makers. Machinima is taking your favourite game, i.e. Half-Life 2, Battlefield 2, and then filming just basically a short movie or a little comedy segment based on running around with the game engine. So the most popular one would be Red versus Blue, which was based on Halo with these guys running around and being tools and, you know, sort of making fun of noobs and owning people, etc. So this one was the Roadrunner Machinima, which was called, I can't remember its exact name, but you might have saw it already. It's by Snokken. So they're the people who made the Mine shows, very popular. And it rips off Roadrunner with the Wile E. Coyote on there. So I thought that was good. And in general, I like the show. Other things were that it doesn't seem to be too kiddie. Like, there's just mainly cheesy bits. But you get that, I guess. And I'm taking the good over the bad. So this stuff's on at 8:30 on Tuesdays. And this is on ABC2. And I looked this up. What the heck is ABC2? It's a digital TV channel. So if you've got pay TV or cable, etc., you can pick this up on there. Otherwise, this is channel 21 if you have a digital set-top box. I'm assuming that mean you'd be in a capital area, because I'm in Ballarat and I couldn't find the channel or pick it up at all, which is a bit of a bummer because I'd like to watch it when it comes out next week at this time. It reminds me in general a bit of the Cyber Shack podcast, because that's all I listen to of it, but that's on the radio week on Thursdays here. And while it's good, it's very mainstream and very superficial. Like, for example, the interviews Charlie Brown does are very fake, and if you listen carefully, you'll notice that he asks these really strange pre-canned questions, and then it cuts to the person being interviewed, and they give some kind of answer which is heavily based on that. So it's like someone's rang up and interviewed them, and then they've cut it up. So I don't like that. I prefer a bit more honesty, and I want to see my games, the meat and bones of them. I don't want to know it's glossy, it's coming out soon, blah, blah, blah. Just give me the games. Give me the meat. Speaking of games and stuff, Supreme Commander closed beta will come out in October, and there should be a beta soon of Enemy Territory Quake Wars. Can't wait for that. But I don't want to drift off too much, so good game is a good show, and it reminds me kind of, well, let's just say of a certain game in the past which had a really good soundbite. And as much as I tried to find it, I couldn't. It's from Enemy Territory, V55, I think, where he goes, "Good game!" So we'll move on again, and this is the last story for today. And this one is New Secret from the original Nintendo 64 version of Super Smash Bros. 1999. So, 7 years ago. There's a link to dig.com, which has this story. And this is about, I'm just trying to bring up the story here so I can read it properly. But Super Smash Bros., old school game. I didn't actually know there was a Nintendo 64 version until maybe a year or two ago. I just assumed the GameCube version that came out was the first one. But no. So these games, it's a fighting game, lots of secrets, lots of unlockables. And there's a report here saying that you're able to lock the Master Hand, which is the cursor that you move around during the menus. And he does this by rotating the analog stick exactly 30 times while in the character selection screen. There's a video of it actually happening with some weird-ass orchestra music over the top of it. The main reason I'm talking about this story is because finding secrets this far after the game's release is amazing. Like, this would make me dig up an old game for this kind of feature. I was always imagining, like, what other games would have secrets that people just gave up on or didn't end up finding. I could imagine that GoldenEye was picked to the death. For example, if you use the Game Shark or an Action Replay and use the no clipping mode, you're able to fly to partially developed features of the level, which they Rare didn't have time to develop. The first level where you got that dam, you're able to no clip over to the tiny building out in the distance, and it had boxes and a sort of mini area in it, but you can't actually get there, so you're under the impression that you could go there and it was part an objective which didn't have time to get developed. Another example would be the Mario Kart game on the GameCube. What was that? Double Dash? Super Mario Kart Double Dash? Where the levels were plane shaded and it looked like a port of a previous level. So I'm curious about, has anyone found any secrets in there? What was their favourite secret in a game, any game? Because it's always good finding a nice Easter egg, especially if you come across it accidentally. Although that's kind of rare these days. For me, I reckon the Easter egg which stuck in my mind the most was MechWarrior 2, the original, which was on DOS. There was a Rare code which let you see a developer's screen. And in this developer's screen, there was maybe a 5-10 page essay about working on the game, what they thought of it, and what exactly stuff they did. And it was really brutally honest, and like if they were having trouble doing a bit or if there was stuff they didn't have time to develop, they'd lay it on. And there was a little photo of the people doing it, like, crazily. And then they'd have an email address there, like a freaking email address to email them. And I remember I emailed one of them actually too, and I got a reply back, and they're like, oh, you found this Easter egg. And I bet surely after that they got rid of that because the amount of people I'd bet emailing them. That's similar to System Shock. There was some kind of credit screen where there were monkeys or some crazy shiznit. What other games had cool secrets? Unlocks in Soul Calibur 2, though, they were the bomb, but anyone could get those. So, yeah, I'd like to know if anyone else has a really cool game secret they remember. The email's oztechnews@gmail.com, so fire it away. Actually, Blizzard. Yeah, Blizzard made lots of cool secrets. The bar sheep or something like that in Warcraft 2. If you type that, oh, you clicked on it lots, that's it. Click on the sheep lots and they say different stuff. So it'd start off going, bar ram you. If you did enough, they'd explode. Good stuff. Warcraft 3 continued that with lots of pretty much every character. You clicked on them a lot and they said stupid stuff. Lots of games ripped this off. Like, I think Command & Conquer, the first one, missed out on it. And then other games just took it a stride, like Tiberium Sun and the other games took it in there. But nothing really got up to Warcraft 3 standards of hilarious quotes. For example, one of them in Warcraft 3 was a Saturday Night Live. Jeez, I'm talking good English. Celebrity Jeopardy quote, something about Buck Futter. Or something like that. Can't remember the exact quote, but those shows were great, and it obviously shows the developers were having a fun time making the game.
So thanks for joining us.
Well, that brings us to the end of our stories for this week, and I'd like to bring up our this week's tip. Now, this one's a bit on the fly for me. But, and from my own experience, this is for a website, www.writely.com. So write, L-E-Y.com, as in like with a pen. This site's about basically a multiplayer notepad, I'd sort of sum it up. With this site, you write a text file and it's fairly full-featured. You can send a text, you can make it bold, lots of good shortcuts, it's pretty easy to use. Good stuff like Control-M lets you do comments, and as you're doing this, you can collaborate with other people. So you can invite other people and get them to join in. To sweeten the icing on the cake a bit, this has probably been the easiest registration system I've ever seen to set up. To start using Writely, all you do, so it's a web app, by the way, you don't download it. You go to the website, put in your email and a password, and click go, and that's it. You start writing straight away. To actually collaborate with other people, you need to go to your email box and click a verify link. Once you've done that, everything works straight away. So to collaborate, an example of what I used it for earlier in this week was for the clan match, we had to get a roster list of everyone playing. So in the forums, we tallied up everyone there. So we had the player list. Then we went through what kind of kit they want, what kind of squad they want to be in. And with a couple of people there, we were able to knock it up a lot quicker than just one person doing it and losing a lot of sleep. So I was pretty happy about using that. A lot of people in podcasting use it to store their show notes while they're working on it. So I'll probably be using it in the future with Sean. We'll be adding new stories in there. And when it comes to crunch time, we'll just delete the crappy ones, add new ones at the last minute. But it means we go in there hitting the ground running. So I recommend you check that out. If you've got any kind of Word document or say, another example would be if you're in school or at uni, you write your crap on in Writely, and then when you head home, you load this file up and your whole file's there. It's held centrally. You can also upload images onto it as well to sort of spruce picture stuff up, but you can't edit the photo. What I was ideally would have liked is to be able to, say, add a picture of a map, draw some arrows on it or some annotations and sort of have a little battle strategy. Normally we do that on net meetings, so it's not like we can't do it, but to have it bundled in Writely is pretty good. I got an email just recently about it saying, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Email saying that I'll have to use my Gmail account password to log in with it in the future because it's going to tie up with it. If that's true, there's probably never better time to go into Gmail, which is basically a free email address. So that ties that up. And we'll move it right on to the next piece. Probably the favorite, which is
Video of the Week.
And this one is a cracker. How to throw a screwdriver like a shuriken. Have a watch of this video. It's pretty good. It's literally how to throw a screwdriver like a shuriken. The video, it's crazy, a bit weird. Great party trick. It shows you how to throw it like a man, so to speak, or a ninja. Ha ha ha. They start off with these weird kind of screwdrivers. They talk about how you want one with a point on it and a short kind of base and how to hold it. So you sort of do, like, if you saw Star Trek, how they do, like, the Vulcan waves, and you also put your thumb in a little bit. So if you're watching the video, this will make a lot more sense than me talking crap. And the way they throw it out is literally, like you remember Mortal Kombat, how the guy, Scorpion, throws that spear and goes, "Come here!" Well, that's how they throw it. It's literally thrusting it forward. So it looks pretty daunting. It's not like, say, someone throwing a baseball or, say, how you sort of go in a natural arc to throw it. So you look pretty ninja-y. They do the examples by you start off throwing it at the ground. Then as you get better and more accurate, they tell you to start hitting a tree. Probably a good idea, because I can imagine if you're pretty inaccurate, you probably hit something else or someone else, which would suck. As you watch the video, there's some pretty meaty funk kind of sounds as he hits the tree, which just makes you want to go out and try this badass trick. So, well recommended from Brett. give it a listen or a watch, and there you go. So that ties up the episode, guys. Episode 20 is all done. Bit of a shame we couldn't do a better episode. I was planning to make it piratey and releasing it out on Pirate Day, but that's past me, so I'll just have to end up on the joke, how many pirates does it take to change a light bulb, guys? Well, the answer is none. They're too busy arguing. And yes, that also reminds me, I've got to tell you about what I actually done for Talk Like a Pirate Day. I had a kookaburra given to me as a gift a while back. And I had a mount for this kookaburra, which is sort of my version of an Australian parrot. And it has this, as a side note, it's got this weird laugh. A bit like if you saw the movie Saw, you know those puppet things that run around and have that weird laugh? Well, this kookaburra laughs like that and nothing like a bird. So that's kind of creepy. So this is mounted onto my shoulder. So I went to order food at KFC in pirate speak. So I can't do it justice and repeat it here, but they all cracked up laughing at me. So in general, Pirate Day was a pretty big success. More people need to know about it, so I'll plug their website, which is www.internationaltalklikeapirateday.com. And yes, this is real. I heard that Triple J were rebelling and creating a Talk Like a Pilot Day, as in like aircraft pilot guy, but that's just silly. Pirates, it's sort of just the shiznit. There are a lot of jokes about, say, "Arr, I'm going to burn me a coaster," as in like software pirate kind of thing. Or jokes, there was a Game Arena person on the message boards called Voods, and it was her birthday today. And someone had the funny response was that their mother said, "Arr," after having birth. Crazy, silly stuff like that makes me laugh. So on that note, check out our website. On that site, you'll find out the show notes, which has the links for all the crap that we've got on here. And it ain't crap. It's pretty funny. So austechnews.blogspot.com, that's AUS, and the email where you can send anything you'd like, and that's it. austechnews@gmail.com, and I almost forgot the email address just then. So next week, we should really have Sean in, hopefully healed up, rested from his holiday with some cool stories to tell us. Who knows, maybe even Simone somewhere around, wherever she's gone to. So catch you later, guys, and have a good one.
Most days are like all of the others. Go to work, come back home, watch TV. But brother, if I had me druthers, I'd chuck it and head out to sea. For I dream of the skull and the crossbones. I dream of the great day to come, when I dump the mundane for the old Spanish main and trade me computer for rum. Arr to me, yo ho, yo ho. It's Talk Like a Pirate Day. When laptops and benches God gave us for wenches, and a sail ain't a low price to pay. When timbers are shivered and lilies are livered and every last buckle is squashed, we'll abandon our cars for a ship full of R.